Our first Bible reading this evening comes from the Gospel according to Mark, and I'm reading chapter 1, verses 40 to 42, which you can find in page 1003 of your pew Bible. But I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. Jesus heals a man with leprosy. A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. "If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean," he said. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. "I am willing," he said. "Be healed." Instantly, the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. Our second Bible reading comes from the Gospel according to Luke, and I'm going to be reading chapter 4, looking at verses 16 to 30. And that can be found on page 1031 of your pew Bible. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself,' and you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.'" "Truly, I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Nahum the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. May God bless to us this reading of his holy word tonight. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So in the summer, I travelled through to Edinburgh one day to attend one day of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland. And in the early morning at Waverley, I noticed several people that were sleeping rough near the station. And one man spoke to me and told me his story. He was well spoken. I remember thinking, why is this young, articulate man on the streets? He told me he was ex-military and due to his injury he couldn't work. But this apparently is not uncommon. Homeless charities say that the number of veterans ending up on the streets has increased. And the other day I read an article about homelessness and former servicemen and women. The chief executive of the Scottish Veterans Residences, Philip Cox, said this: "People who are nurtured within a military culture based around discipline, responsibility and self-reliance often feel ashamed to ask for help." And Graham Stephen of Glasgow City Mission said, "Among the people we serve at Glasgow City Mission, many are war veterans. Those who have served their country and on return to the UK have struggled to reintegrate. Often what they have witnessed in combat has had serious impact on their mental health. For some of those who we work with, they found that their lives quite quickly spiralled out of control, resulting in homelessness and deep brokenness. Our approach at Glasgow City Mission is to get to know each individual and ask, how can we help? We seek to meet people's immediate needs, such as food, advice, and then connect people to our daytime programme that seeks to address the underlying issues and rebuild people's confidence and skills." So as I read this article about homelessness among our city's veterans, I thought about the ministry of Jesus and what he would do to help those people affected by the memories and injuries of war. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim this the year of the Lord's favour." That's Luke 4, verses 18 and 19. So Jesus found the Isaiah text to read at the synagogue in Nazareth. He reads from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 to 2, but missed out the phrase, "the day of vengeance of our God," and instead added in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6, the phrase, "to set the oppressed free." Jesus had taken out all references to hostility to Israel's enemies. And in doing this, he was telling the people of Israel he was not only their God, but equally he was the God to the Gentiles. In Luke 4, verses 25 to 27, Jesus also identified with the prophets Elijah and Elisha, who ministered to the Gentiles. Salvation was now for all people and not just the chosen people of Israel. This message of inclusion is seen throughout Jesus' entire ministry. Jesus is seen attending to those marginalized by society and not the religious elite. He healed the demon-possessed, a crippled woman, a blind man, an unclean hemorrhaging woman, and as we read today, a leper was healed. For Jesus, by pointing the good news to these people, is showing his refusal to recognize those socially determined boundaries, proclaiming instead that even these outsiders are the objects of divine grace. Jesus' mission had a universal scope that bypasses ethnic, cultural, social, and racial barriers. It was and is a ministry of inclusion. If Jesus was around today in person, he would be walking alongside our broken war veterans. He would be listening to their stories of horror and pain and healing the brokenness caused by war by setting them free from their pains. Jesus would be reaching out to touch these people, just like he touched the leper. He would be touching people to bring healing and wholeness. When the leper approached Jesus, he said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." He bowed down in an attitude of respect. He came because of faith in Jesus' ability to heal him. This man, so marked with stigma, must have seen or sensed something humble and caring in Jesus, even to dare approach him. He believed and wanted help enough to seek Jesus out and plead for it. Jesus' response, filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." I can imagine that this man that had leprosy had almost forgotten what the touch of a hand felt like. He had lived ever since the disease surfaced apart from human contact. No embrace from a wife, child, or friend. When he walked into crowds, a heart-chilling circle would clear all around him. But now this man stretches his hand across the lonely gulf and lets him feel once again the sweetness of a warm and gentle touch. It was part of the cure. It was a clearing away any lingering doubt concerning the willingness of Jesus to demonstrate compassion. The pure hand of love was laid upon the rotting flesh of the leper. The Glasgow street pastors and the Glasgow street outreach team, through their love for Jesus and empowered by his spirit, helped the vulnerable on the streets of Glasgow. They listen to the stories of the lonely, give food to the hungry, help the injured to safety, and pray with people in need of healing and wholeness through Jesus. I wanted to share with you tonight an extract from a book that was written by Stephen Webster, who founded the Glasgow Street Outreach. And this is the book here. Stephen Webster in this book writes a poem about a time when he had a divine encounter that changed him forever. A personal encounter with Jesus that would touch him so deeply that he would never again have any doubt that his hand and heart was very much upon his outreach ministry. So here is what happened as he approached a homeless man under the arch by Buchanan Street. The poem is called, "Have You Seen Him?" "I saw you there under the arch, sitting on a piece of torn up cardboard, begging. I heard the sounds of the many people passing you by without as much as a glance, or worse, they cursed, mocked, spat, kicked, and abused you there. And you never said a word, as with your head bowed low, you never answered. The flow of the flogging words and the cruel thorns and nails being driven into your body, mind and spirit outside Starbucks. I bent down beside you, put my hand on your shoulder and you lifted up your head and looked into my eyes with tears. Tears running down your innocent face and beard, and those eyes were deep pools of pain, suffering, sorrow and love. The depth of you reached the depth of me. And we wept together there outside Starbucks. It was Jesus just sitting there with matted blood and spittled hair, all dressed in rags, with all he had in poly bags upon his carved throne. I offered you a soup and a roll and you reached out and touched my soul with words I'll never forget. Thank you and God bless." And he had. A heart so pierced had touched my own, and tears that flowed from heaven's throne washed streets and lanes, from human stains as we just passed you by. We never saw you sitting there, Emmanuel, with spittled hair, with head bowed low, defound of crown, King of kings, Lord of lords, the beggar on his cardboard throne, sitting all alone outside Starbucks." I think this poem really captures that Jesus is a living reality today. When the street pastor team are out on the streets of Glasgow at night, Jesus is present too. Jesus is both with the suffering and also with those who reach out to make a difference to others. Jesus is a living presence now, for his spirit lives within us. And we have been called to follow in Jesus' mission. Like Jesus, we are called to bring healing to the vulnerable and the broken through prayer, through proclaiming the gospel message, and through our expressions of love and service and social action. No person is beyond God's touch. And in a sense, we are all people with leprosy because we have all been deformed by sin and all have wounds longing to be healed. But God, by sending his Son Jesus, has touched us, giving us the opportunity to be healed and to be transformed in ways we cannot imagine. And today, as we approach the Lord's table, we remember that in Christ our sins are forgiven. Our past is behind us. We are new creation in Christ. Jesus has brought us into a personal relationship with God our Father. And as we take the bread and the wine, we know that in Christ we are constantly being transformed by his Spirit into his likeness, ready to love and serve in his ways. The man with leprosy had faith. He believed in Jesus and wanted help enough to seek Jesus out and to plead for it, despite what onlookers must have been thinking. Do we have faith in Jesus enough to plead with him to heal our wounds and brokenness? Do we have faith in Jesus enough to speak of his great love to those that we meet? Do we have faith in Jesus enough to offer prayer to those broken by the challenges and pains of life? Homeless war veterans have the chance of a new life. A new life of wholeness, a life without fear and damaged minds, if only someone somewhere introduced them to Jesus. I think back to the time I spoke to the homeless man in Edinburgh and just wished I'd taken the time to tell him about Jesus. Ironically, I was rushing off to go to the Church of Scotland's General Assembly. So many people long to be touched and to receive wholeness of body, mind and spirit. Wholeness we know that can come only through Jesus. Being a follower of Christ is not a pursuit for isolated individuals or lone rangers. And that's why we come together tonight as a body of Christ to take communion. We are called into a community of sisters and brothers in Jesus' name. We are part of one body where each one is invited to touch and be touched by the body of Christ made visible in others. We come together as a community of believers to take communion tonight. And let's remember this is a healing sacrament as we take the body of Christ. We are reminded that Jesus, through his sacrifice to us, has released us of our burdens and sins. And as with his Spirit, we have his strength and his grace to make a difference, both to ourselves and also to our broken world. Let us pray. Loving and transforming God, we know that many people around us in this world are silent victims, unable to bring about healing for themselves and their loved ones. Help us to speak the truth of Jesus with love and humility. Help us to advocate for justice for those unable to speak for themselves. Guide us as we seek ways to bring healing for others in a world filled with sickness and destruction. Sustain us with your love and bless us with hope for times when we feel the job is too big and the work is never done. Justice and kindness makes for peace and healing. Dear God, let it begin with us. In Jesus' name, amen.